Take your Bible tonight and go with me to Acts chapter 2:28. Acts chapter 20:28. Acts 20:28. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Just one verse. While I have your attention here today, I want to thank you men and women that came out and mowed the lawn. I don't know if you noticed or not. It sure looks nicer on it. Would you, hey, brother, give me just a little bit more, will you? I want to thank you for that. Thank you for all the work you guys do around here and gals and a lot of things going on. I think of the bus ministry and the soul winning and the just Sunday school classes. We just started a new Sunday school class. Poor Mrs. Donahue had it today. She had how many? 18? 18 in her class. And Brother Rick is going to take over the boys and let Sister take the girls. And Rob, you know, he left us. And so Brother Brown, he's taking the boys. So praise the Lord about that. So we're moving things around, amen, and trying to make up where we can go. And thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for these folks that are doing the audio and putting that on board and on our church site. And just appreciate it so much. Do. I really do. Appreciate all the work you do. And I hope tonight that you realize how much you appreciate, your preacher appreciates that and family. A lot of things go on around here that we don't even know. Brother Jason Buchert, pastor up in Canada, came down with Jason Church, and they came in and rewired for our cameras. So now we have all four security cameras going. We're recording all the time. So I'd be very careful what you did outside, because now we can back it up and find what you're doing out there. And so anyway, I reminded our city police, who do come by here every once in a while and stop in for a moment. I told them, I said, you know, we have cameras out there now. And they said, well, we'll be very careful. All right. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. A lot of people forget that this is not ours. We're just servant boys. Yeah. To answer to no one except him. Of course, we are to be servants. All of us are to be servants. Amen. All of us are if we see something that somebody needs, we should try to help them in everything they can. We're all servants. But when it comes to the man of God, he's to know the state of his flock. And he is to, and it's God who made him an overseer. And he is to feed that church of God. And why, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to take heed to ourselves. Take heed. We make sure that we take care of ourselves. And then all the flock, and over which the Holy Ghost has made us overseers. And Lord, that we would feed the church of God, that we would be careful, for this is a purchased group that you've bought with your own blood. Lord, bless this service tonight. May it be a blessing, a help, and encouragement to our people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The essential truth concerning the church of Christ is found only in the Word of God. No one else knows how to run the church except the Lord God. And we're to be taking our stand to the Word of God. We must refuse to go outside the pages of anything which concerns the essential of the Church of God. I hear a lot of people go to, they go to a lot of conferences and things, and they pick up ideas. But if it is not founded by the Word of God, you're really heading for a lot of trouble. I talked to a man the other day, and he was talking about a pastor I know very well, and he was telling me about the things, and he said that man just started to slide. He started sliding in things of the Word of God. Trying to be relevant to this world, trying to get things that get people in any way they could get people in. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. The Bible says that the Lord added daily. The Lord added daily. And sometimes we at Heritage Baptist Church for the last about 30 years now, sometimes the church pews are not filled. They're, all of a sudden, we have a mass exodus. Thank you, Malmstrom Air Force Base. And all of a sudden, they're gone, and you wonder where in the world. I had to thank you. I had a very interesting pictures that I had at the Lancaster Spiritual Leadership Conference. And one of them was Mrs. Holloman. How many saw that? And Bart Dame is standing right next to her, and I'm baptizing her in the cattle water drinking thing. That's how we baptized back in those days. And my heart was thrilled to realize that to see how God continues to work. Amen. I don't know if you noticed or not, but Rob and his wife, he went to Djibouti, Africa, and his wife went back to Wisconsin. We know that Julie and Eric are leaving for Cheyenne here pretty quick. And you got two more weeks with us. And we have Brian's heading out for a little bit. And if I have forgot you, let me not remember, for it burdens my heart. Stay, will you, please? But a lot of things go on here, and all of a sudden we get people are going, and all of a sudden we get people are coming. Amen. It's our responsibility to stay faithful. God told us to be faithful. And if you're going to worry about numbers, you're going to have a hard time, because I'll tell you what, about every 2 or 3 years, about 5 years, we start a new church here. And very interesting how these things go. But we're faithful. Faithful to the Word of God. This is it right here. This is our faith and practice. This is what we hang on to. We don't hang on to the theologian's dialogue. We hang on to God's Word. A theologian, theologian, he's studied the Word of God, and he ought to know what he's doing for God. But there's a lot of them trying to figure things out. Best thing, just read and do what God tells us. I think that's a good idea. We must decline to read the New Testament through the glasses of church history in order to learn essential truth. Read the Bible. Hasn't changed. Not one jot, not one tittle. Scripture alone, not Scripture interpreted and exemplified by church fathers, but Scripture alone. Our only rule of faith and practice can come from the Word of God. That's it. This is it. This is it. For only the Word of God can we find the purity of truth. When I was in college, and I thought it was more fun to goof off than to really study when I was in my first year of college. I hate to tell you that, but I was there to have a good time, play football. That was it, all right? And I missed coaching. I mean, I missed playing football my second year. I was redshirted by 0.01%. Our college was very tight about that, and I missed it by 0.10%. I even took a summer school class, and I thought that I made a B+ on a sociology class, which was a junior class, and I did quite well because I buckled down. I knew what I finally learned how to study my first year, and I came back to college, and my college and three other guys met me at the airport, and on my way home, the coach said, "Hey, Shear, I'm sorry to tell you, but," he said, "you're redshirted for this year." He said, "Okay, you still got 3 more years to play." I said, "What?" He said, "Well, the teacher didn't think that that you got a B+. He thought you got to be a B." I said, "You got to be kidding." And I about left school. I was going to quit. And turned out to be the best year of my life. And I met Marcia was there. And if I had left, I would have got to marry my wife. I would never got to coach a football team that taught me really, really the idea of football, what it's all about. I could tell you the front and the back of that rule book. And my coach, I went to see him. He said, "I hear you're going to coach." I said, "Well, I've got a chance." He said, "Man, that's great." And he said, "Shear, just play the basics. Don't do some fang-dangled backflip, you know, razzle-dazzle." He said, "Just do the basics." He said, "If you just teach them how to tackle, hang on the ball, and get off the snap," he says, "you will be fine." And that year we won every game, and we only had 12 points scored on us the whole year. And it was an amazing, amazing ride. Learn the basics. You know, it's pretty simple Christianity. Christianity is really simple. Number one, realize you're a sinner. Number two, you need a great Savior. Number three, that Savior will come in your heart. He died on the cross. He will save you from your sins. Next is get baptized. Next, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What is so tough about that? That's really what Paul the Apostle said. This is what he said about the gospel. He said, it's Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. He said, that's all I know. And so we as Christians, if we could just jam-pack the basics into, do you know how to win somebody to Jesus Christ? Do you know how to pray for somebody? Do you know how to be kind one to another? Hey, it's pretty simple, be a good Christian, amen. One man said Christianity is 75% just showing up to the church house, amen. That's pretty simple. You look at the Hindus. You look at these people that are Hindus. And over a million gods they have to serve, and they have to try to keep up with all of them. Thank God we have one Savior, Jesus Christ. And He's living, and He's coming again. We therefore place the New Testament high and alone without apology. And we take its evidence alone without apology. Thus saith the Lord God. I was in a barber chair the other day, and barber said something to me. And I said, well, I said, we got the Word of God. I said, I wasn't there. Bible wrote it. I guess I'm going to take it. I didn't say I guess. I said, I'm going to take what the Bible says. I wasn't there. The local church is a visible church. It's not this building, though we thank God for Heritage Baptist Church. We think of the church as a building. It's not a building. It's us. We can go meet the pig pen tonight. And, ooh, wouldn't smell too good leaving there. But we'd still be the church. The church is meeting. In a month, we'll go down to Castle Rock to our annual camp meeting. And you know what? It's Heritage Baptist Church. We'll have a Heritage Baptist Church here Wednesday night, and we'll have a Heritage Baptist Church down in Camp Castle Rock. We're meeting together, amen. A visible church, the congregation of the baptized believers associated together with the common faith and fellowship in the gospel, observing the ordinance of Christ. And we're governed by this Word of God, and we're seeking to extend the gospel to the end of the world. That's why we're sending missionaries over. So I was sending people like James and Sherry Ortez out into Nepal as they go there for 12 years and started five churches. Got another one coming. They got a college that has 18 students in it. By the way, you pray for them because every one of them students costs them $100 a month. You know, I was thinking about James. You know, I'd really like to support one of those guys. I'd really like to do that. Though they are not there physically, their handprint and footprint is seen over there because churches are being started. It's an incredible thing. I wish you could go with me over there. I think of the Collinses. They had to come out of Mexico for a little bit. They're heading back in there, but they're teaching and training. There's a lot of very upended world countries out there today. We're extending the gospel to end the world. It is the only scriptural officers of the church. We have them, and we have bishops and deacons. I'd rather be called pastor than bishops here. But the pastor's only been, do you know pastor's only named once in the Bible about a pastor? But it's bishop and deacons, amen. It's a presbyteros, that's all, who qualifies and claims the duty, defends, and defines the epistles of Timothy and Titus. Matthew chapter 18, verse 17, if you're looking in your Bible. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And of course, it's talking about some disagreements at the church. And we have disagreements at the church. We have problems in the church. All churches have some kind of problem, some kind of boil sticking out ready to somebody to bump or sunburn. Somebody's got some problem, amen. And God says, this is what you do to it. He says, Matthew chapter 18, verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, hear who? Well, the pastor won't see them. And he won't listen to the pastor. Then the pastor takes a man with him. He won't listen to that. You bring him to the church. That's Bible. Tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Acts chapter 5, verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. What was that? Well, Ananias and Sapphira. They said, we've given everything we got and we sold it all. We brought it to the church. And they lied. And Peter said to Ananias, said, did you sell all that? He said, oh, yeah. He said, how come you're lying to the Holy Spirit of God? Boom, he died. Right there. Right on the front carpet of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. I mean, he died. He's flopped like a dead fish. Amen. Graveyard dead. He said, the young man, come on in and roll him up. Take him out to the cemetery. Well, about 3 hours later, after massage and pedicure and nails, here comes Sapphira. Sapphira, did you sell so much? Oh, yeah, so much. I said, just like the guy's hands are still warm for her from your husband, and she dropped dead. And this is what the Bible said. And great fear came upon all church. Wouldn't it be amazing if you said, Pastor, I tithe. I tithe my salary and what God has blessed me with. I tithe. And all of a sudden, Sunday night, and the preacher said, did you tithe? Oh, yeah! Wonder how they'd be flopping like a fish out of water. Amen. Huh? I wonder how that'd do. Oh, by the way, tonight is the Lord's Supper. It is coming. It's ready. We just have to bring it in. And when you take the Lord's Supper tonight, and you take that bread in your hand, and you take that cup in your hand, you're saying to your neighbor and to your preacher and everybody around, I have this testimony that I'm right with God. You're saying, I got this thing called tithing. I got that thing taken care of. Read the rest of the scripture on the Lord's Supper. It's quite intimidating. It's quite amazing. Because the Bible teaches us that we would not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So when you take the Lord's Supper, you're telling people, hey, I'm right with my wife. I'm right with my husband. I'm right with my dad and mama. I'm right with my children. I'm right with my church. It's a big deal. That's why Paul wrote, he said, that's why some are weak and sickly among you, and why some sleep. That word sleep has the idea, that Greek word has the idea of dead. The mortician comes and picks you up. In fact, Paul said, there are a lot of people dying in our church. You better straighten some things out at 1 Corinthians, at Corinth, at the church of Corinth. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, Paul was consenting unto his death. And at the time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day, were added unto them 3,000 souls, added unto them, church, of course. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. Matthew chapter 28, this deals with the local church. Go ye therefore in all nations. Teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. God expects us to take the Lord's Supper. He said, do it. It's a command. It's an imperative. You are to take the Lord's Supper. Why? Because it is a time of invitation. Is it a time of getting right with God? What stopped? He says that we examine ourselves. It's our stop. Stop. I don't examine my wife, Marcia. I examine myself. I make sure the beam is out of my eye before I look at the mote, someone else's. It's quite a critical thing in Christian life. It's a critical thing in churches. Some people just kind of put it on the back burner, and they take the Lord's Supper, and the kids think it's fun. They can eat a little something to eat and drink a little juice, and man, they're cool. Or someone who's going to feed the flock said, now listen to me, this is serious business. The Lord's Supper is very serious business. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be sickly. And I'll guarantee you, I don't want to be dead. I'm going to get kicking and screaming all the way to the graveyard, I'm telling you. When you come up, look at me in that casket, and you say, doesn't he look good? I'm going to go, I'm dead! No, I'm not. I'm in heaven. Amen. Amen. But I'll tell you what, we need to realize how important it is that the Lord's Supper. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner some is, but exhorting one another so much more to see the day approaching. I hear so many people in Heritage Baptist Church saying, boy, the Lord must be coming back soon. Well, if that's true, why aren't you coming to every service of the church? Why aren't you here? Because that's what you're saying. Not forsaking the assembling. This is the assembly. The assembling of baptized believers. We have come, we are saved, then we follow Lord and believers baptism, and we are to assemble. We're to be a part of the assembly. Have you ever been to a reunion? And a lot of people are there, but seems how there's a couple families not there. Feels bad. They miss out, you miss out. Amen. By the way, same way with church. Grandma calls you up and says, hey, having supper tonight. Don't forget now, this is Friday night. Well, come over to Grandma's house Friday night. Grandma works all day, fixes food. Oh, man, buttered beans, biscuits, real butter, jelly. Roast beef, taters, coleslaw, sweet tea. Yes. Oh my. You don't show up. What's Grandma feel like? Well, folks, you're looking at Grandma when I get my messages ready for you. And you don't show up. Reminds me of the old preacher. He got into a cattle town, and boy, he just all ripped, snorting away, brother. I'll tell you what, and it was a pretty rough night, and it was snowing and blowing. Only one old cow puncher came in. He sat down about the middle. He looked like he'd been beat up all day, and man, that preacher give it to him, man. An hour and a half, just keep preaching. Afterwards, he says, well, brother, what do you think? He said, well, preacher, he said, you know, I'm out feeding my cattle. Only two or three of them come in. I don't give them the whole bale. But anyway. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for righteous, for instruction in righteousness. Boy, how important is our Bible? How important are the Bible? Secondly, I want you to look at that. The local church is the visible church of Christ. Is a voluntary and independent, autonomous group of baptized believers. We are it. Heritage Baptist Church is it. Just like my friend down in Rudy Smith down at Mount Sinai Baptist Church. They are it. Just like Temple Baptist Church here in town, they're it. Fairview Baptist Church, they're it. Hope Baptist Church, Hope Michigan, they're it. I mean, they are an exclusive church. They do not take any orders from anybody else. You understand that? We don't go to another church and say, well, what do you think we ought to do? We come together and we put our 2 cents in and we punt and we run with the ball. Amen. It's our job. It is a true democracy which originally can join nothing. And that is the power and right within itself to confess its own faith in accordance to the New Testament. What does the Bible say to us? Listen to what the Bible says. Okay, we'll go over that. Hey, that's what the Bible said. I've read it too, preacher. Yes, sir. That's what it means. Yes. Hey, let's make a policy. Let's say that's our doctrine at Heritage Baptist Church. And that each congregation recognize its own democratic, self-containing government as its highest authority for carrying out the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose church it is, for he bought it with the price. We better not go running around and going crazy about what we think. We better make sure it comes from the Word of God, and God puts a stamp of authority on it. That's why when Paul wrote there in 1 Corinthians, he said, this is what I got from God, when he's talking about the Lord's Supper. 1 Timothy chapter 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Jude 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So our responsibility, of course, comes from the Word of God. Don't you let somebody tell you, well, this is what the convention told us we need to do. Whoa! Whoa, Nelly! Sorry. Reins back. Bring her head around. She ain't going that way. You ever see them bulldoggers? Man, they jump off that horse and grab that old calf and turn out. But boy, they got their old feet just mud and all the other stuff's out there in that corral, you know, flying around, you know. And man, he finally stops it, amen. That's the way we ought to feel like. No, we're not going that way. We're not going that way with our music. We're not going that way with our lewd behavior. We're not going that way with our lewd dress. We're not going that way with our teenagers. This is where we're headed. It's a biblical, doctrinal, separated way about doing things. Now, there's a lot of people you're going to meet in church that they think they're the boss of the church. They're not the boss of the church. This is the boss of the church. You run into people in your church that will tell you how you ought to dress. And I'll tell you how you ought to walk and what you ought to talk. You better be careful. You better be careful on that. You better be careful because thus saith the Lord God. You want to be very careful how we act as well. You know, somebody asked me the other day, he said, Pastor, and I got an email from this lady, and she says, Pastor, I heard you can't wear slacks in your church. I said, well, who told you that? Well, she said, I just heard it. I said, okay. I said, as long as you're not on this platform, as long as you're not playing that piano, playing that organ, or not back behind here preaching, and by the way, I wear slacks. I said, you can come to this church in bikini. She said, what? I said, yeah, you can come to church. Now, I'm going to give you my coat. But I said, you can come any way you want to come. We have some leadership qualifications at Heritage Baptist Church. But when I got someone coming off the street, we don't tell them what to wear. We're to thank God they're here. And if you are, shut your mouth. I just thought I'd help you out on that. I shouldn't say shut your mouth because I just, right now, when I thought of that, I saw that ivory soap coming at me from my mother. Don't you ever say shut up. Sorry, Mom. Boy, that was a Pavlov deal, wasn't it, amen? We want to be very careful that we are very intent about getting the gospel out. Some people don't think like you. In fact, you're quite peculiar, and the Bible says peculiar. Not weird. You're not supposed to be weird, but you're supposed to be peculiar. We want to be very careful to how that we shove a few things down that people actually think you're going to get to heaven because they dress that way. That ain't the way it is. It's not the way it is. It'd be better if the person sat under the preaching of the Word of God and was encouraged to walk like God and to dress like God and to be like God than to have somebody hog tie him and take him down and roll him, and all of a sudden they didn't get a chance to hear the Word of God. But the Bible talks about how that the seeds are sown, and some fell on the hard ground, and Satan came and picked those seeds up before they had a chance to even germinate. And then there's some that fall on other kind of ground that they couldn't. They got a little bit of root, but it didn't. And then there's some that they were planted, but the weeds choked them out. But then there's some that did fall into good ground and did bear fruit. That's really where we're at. We're trying to get some folks to bear some fruit, amen. And so be very careful. That as a Christian, that you are kind. If I checked you out and asked you how you did when you were in high school and how you dressed, and what brand you smoked or chewed or drank, you would probably tell me, you said, "Preacher, that's really a bad red testament." Well, I'll give you an illustration. A number of years ago, a guy came to our church. He was a really country guy from Oregon. And we had our big picnic. And right across from the soccer field, it used to be a beautiful baseball diamond. And a great backstop and everything. And old Huck, man, I hope you're listening, Huck. He backed his green Chevy pickup truck, and he had these, I'm telling you, monster speakers like that you have hid in your car. But anyway, boy, when he turned that thing on, everything just like this. He turned on some Hank Jr. music. Some of your favorites, and some of the old, good old gospel music, like, Don't Fence Me In and all that stuff. And man, he was blasting. I mean, it was blasting. And man, I caught out of my eye one of our guys, and he was heading there just about to take that guy's head off. And I grabbed him. And I said, "Hey, let me take care of this. I think the last time I read on the post out there that my name was there." I said, "Let me handle this thing." And I walked up and I said, "Huck, first of all, I can't hear nothing, man. I got bad ears anyway." And I said, "Secondly," I said, "that's really not, we're a Christian church group." I said, "That's really not our flavor of music." I said, "Hey, you mind if you turn it?" "Oh, no, preacher, I'll turn it on. Sorry, I just thought we'd have some good jiving music out here, play a little ball." I said, "Thank you, buddy. Preacher, turn it off." 2 weeks later, that same guy that I stopped and cut off at the pass came and preached to him and ripped his lips off, and that kid was never going to come back to our church because the kid had a lot of tape. Kid turned out to be a pretty good guy. He's still a good friend of mine. Sometimes we step into things we shouldn't be stepping in. Give us a chance. Give some of these young Christians a chance. They don't have the pristine, the wisdom that you have. Just relax a little bit. And you got a problem, come see preacher. Let me help them with it a little bit. That's why you pay me all that big money. And let's realize that we're out trying to win some Jesus Christ, people of Jesus Christ. By the way, in that fact, you're looking at an old rock rib preacher. And I have standards in my house, in my life, that are just very careful. But when a person comes into this church and has a desire to serve God, just may not be where you're at today. Well, a few years ago, you weren't at where you're at today. Relax. Let's work with them. Let's love them. They're not on that platform. They're not the preacher. In fact, last time I figured out, I figured I'd like to be here for a while. They're not helping like Rick is. They're not teaching a Sunday school class. They're not playing the piano. They're not doing any of this none of the leadership and the leadership, leave them alone. Keep your stinking hands off them. Let's help them to get grounded in the Word of God. And all of a sudden they say, well, that was really stupid. Like you're saying today, I wouldn't do that. Why? Well, when I was younger, that's what I'm trying to talk to you about. So be very careful. Amen. This church is a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, hellfire, damnation, loving church. Amen. It ain't going to change. We're not going to have rock music up here. Not going to have the honky-tonk up here. We're going to have good old gospel music. We're going to have a hard old preaching. We haven't changed that. I haven't started wearing a sweater and smoking a pipe yet. And I ain't planning on it. We're not going to be having a little praise team up here and having the girls swaying and swinging with the music and have their microphone all tipped around and swooning us. No, I ain't going to do that. I ain't planning on doing that. I still believe that there is a point in life that some people can be taught. But you can't force feed people sometimes. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them swim. No. That's what you try to do. Force them to water, they just swim. They ain't going to drink for you. Amen. The essence of the local church is the Lord clearly established the society, which is called Ecclesia. If you're taking notes, Ecclesia, called out assembly of baptized believers. Here, the Word of God has a threefold application. It is used in the local church, particular city, particular home that was meeting in. It is used as the church universal, the collection of some, the church. As an aggregate of the local church of the time, 1 Corinthians 10:32, give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God, the incorporate, the universal church. 2 Corinthians 12:28, and God set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that, miracles and gifts and healings and helps and governments and diversities of tongue. It is also used as a church regarded in an area, regarded with an idea, as part from the time. It was realizing God's purpose of redemption, Ephesians chapter 1:22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And we see the entrance of the local church, its beginning. We might call it the incipient stage. When I was a firefighter, they used to talk about if you can get there in the incipient stage of that fire, the beginning, you can pretty well get it out. Acts chapter 2:14, but Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words. And then he preached Christ, and those that accepted Christ, 2:41 of Acts, they that gladly received his word were baptized, same day added about unto them about 3,000 souls. And then Christ was confessed in baptism, but then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and then Christ added the penitent to believers to the church. 2:41, 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord entered the church daily, such as should be saved. Amen. So we have this church thing going, and now it's just an incipient stage. And it'd be a good idea for some of you young men to read in Acts, read over and over and over and over again how the church was going. And then you see the function of the church, the reason for existence. Christ's work, which was made provision for association among those in Christ. What a wonderful thing that we can have fellowship. What a wonderful thing we can have friends. Man, I can't wait to get to church. I'll tell you something really funny happened. I had to do a bunch of things before I came to church today and just make sure everything was taken care of, my wife. So I said, I'm going to lay down for 41 minutes and I'm going to nap. And I lay down 41 minutes and I looked at my clock. It was 5 o'clock. I'm going crazy because I'm thinking, I don't know why, I'm thinking that church starts at 5:30 tonight. Brother, I took a deep breath and I tore. I said, honey, you got to get up. And she said, looks at me like, what's wrong with you, you know? And, man, I'm strutting around, and man, finally got dressed and got her dressed. And, man, come down to church, and 5:25, there's not a person at the church. And I'm going, all of a sudden my brain is, no, I haven't woke up since my nap. You understand this? This has been a pretty rough week. I had one drowning. I had suicide last night, so I've been going a lot. And run like a chicken head cut off this week. And had a graduation down to hell on a Friday. And just go, all right? So I get down here, there's nobody here. And I'm going, oh, my goodness. I looked at my clock to make sure it was Sunday. But anyway. So I realized it was Sunday. I said, well, we'll go down and get pick up the mail down here. So we went down and picked up the mail. Amen. Sometimes we don't know really what's going on, amen. But Christ, I couldn't wait to get church tonight. That's the whole idea. I just can't wait to see y'all and see who shows up, amen. And man, I'm glad you all showed up, amen. And I haven't seen you guys in a long time. What a blessing. This morning, what a blessing to see Tammy and her little girl. And then I got to see a little boy. Man, he's grown up. I can't believe it. Wow. And what thrill it is that God has given us a place that we can come. And we can come and bare our hearts. This morning, one of my buddies always comes on Sunday morning, prays with me, comes up to my office, having a tough time, and he prayed with me this morning. I'm just so happy to see him. It's good to be in church. It's also good to be able to help people. And it's good to be able to counsel people and to encourage them. And I hope that you realize the function of the church, or the reason we exist, is that God made a provision so we could get together. And it's not just us. We can help each other in the times of need, in times of sorrow, when people are sick, when people are dying, when people are really hurting. We're here, and when times are fun. Like Wednesday, man, get to church on Wednesday. Have some fun with us. Find out the preacher's not always, all right, turn your Bible to. You know. Come on, let's have some fun. Enjoy our life together. Enjoy our fellowship together. Eat a few hot dogs together, amen. You know. Talk together. God gave us the church for instruction, for fellowship, for the ordinance of baptism, and also for the other ordinance, the order of Lord's Supper, for worship, and for prayer. Everything here in the book of Acts points to community bonding together in spiritual ties. What a wonderful thing. You and I have a very special tie together, more than the man that you work with or the ladies you work with. You have a different tie for the people when you come to this church. It's a blessing. Everything here acts to point to community bond of love. A community expresses common life, a simple yet adequate form. Hey, can I help you? Hey, just want to know how you're doing. You know, I was very amazed as I was at leadership conference. I want to say Dr. Chappell said this. He said, we have this, how you doing, buddy? And I think I've told that to you before. You slap a guy, hey, how you doing, buddy? You doing okay? Gone, you know. Well, the guy don't even have a chance to talk. Secondly, the guy that just said, how you doing, buddy, really doesn't want to know what you're having troubles with anyway. And I thought, boy, I don't want to be that kind of pastor. And I hope that we don't have that kind of people here that just say, hey, how you doing, buddy? Good to see you, man. I think maybe it's a good idea to say, hey, buddy, how you doing? How you really doing? Hey, call me tomorrow. Get a hold of me. Let's go out and have some coffee. Let's go out and have a roll. Let's go out and let's talk. Or, hey, what you doing Friday night? Why don't you come on out for dinner? You hear what I just said? I didn't say supper. I said dinner. I'm just trying to help you out there. I believe in supper. You believe in dinner, but that's okay. And then we have an extension. After life in Christ, we have salvation, the love of Christ, that we may uh, that Ye are my friends if you keep my commandments. You have this extension to God. We labor for Christ. I'm an extension of the Lord Jesus Christ's arm. You understand that? That's what we are. We're an extension of Him. It's just not me. I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this for the Lord Jesus Christ's Son. I am living more like Him. Labors for Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, the labor is not in vain in the Lord. Preaching the word, administering biblical ordinances, building up the believers and with diverse gifts. There are some things that a church member needs, and you may be the only one to give them. Many times a pastor will tell you, he says, you know, there's a lot of things I want to do, but I don't even know your friends. You can do more for your friends than the preacher can do for your friends. Every one of us have at least one friend, hopefully, or two or three. And we can broadcast the seed out from God. I'm gonna finish with this. I know you're looking at your clock and it's hot. I'm sorry. I thank you for listening carefully. But the form of the church... You know what the form of the church? Unity. Listen to me now. Don't miss this. The form of the church is unity. It's getting together. It's not splitting away. It's trying to hold on to each other. A lot of us don't agree with each other. Just go out and look at the parking lot. Not everybody drives a Ford. Or a Chevy. Or a Dodge. Not all of us do that. We have some diehard Ford people here. I offended you this morning. I'm glad. But anyway, they should die hard about it. But that isn't... We don't choose our friendship around a Ford truck. I hope. There are some things in life that really need great unity. Especially in a local church. There are things that come up. Problems come up. Spiritual things come up that, you know, if you would just elevate yourself and say, you know what, I'm not even go there. I'm not even go there. And let me, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? If you're here to cause disunity, you're at the wrong place. You should be able to work things out. Biblically. Love them. Love your enemy. Do good unto them that persecute you. We all make mistakes. I haven't met a person that doesn't make a mistake. And the one that did, he was crucified. Because you're so perfect. You're going to make some mistakes. Years ago, something happened, and a man told me, he says, I'm quitting the church. I said, why? He says, because you did this. I said, sir, I did not do that. But I said, if I did, I'm sorry. But I said, I know I didn't do that. And he quit our church. He's the same guy that had some problems, and I helped him. Same guy that said some nasty things, and I forgave him. You better be careful how you treat others. I'm a loyal guy. And loyalty says, even though they do bad, I'm still going to love them. Families have a lot of problems, don't we? We make mistakes. We do really stupid stuff. We're still family. That's Uncle Ralph. You know, he's just Uncle Ralph. Whatever. And you know what? You still love him. Or still love her. The form of our church is unity, based on the possession of spiritual life, love with a pure heart. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love and brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart. In fact, he tells us we ought to show it off. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Endeavor. You know what endeavor is? Yes, that's that thing that used to fly around the Endeavor, you know. The shuttle. Endeavor is a lot of work. I am endeavoring to get this book done. I am endeavoring. I am trying so hard to get this finished. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, as even as ye are called in one hope in your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one love, one faith, one baptism, one God. These records are found in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 37 of the authentic church. And we can preach Christ crucified, risen, and coming again until he takes us home. And that, my friend, is a local church and all about more. As you can find the Word of God, just see what the Bible says. And it is our responsibility to stay unified. Quit fighting. Quit your fussing. Stop. Relax. Well, I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to make them miserable. Oh, I think you missed it. I'm going to give you your Baptist distinctives and I'll close. B, Baptist authority. Biblical authority. B, biblical authority. As a Baptist, we have biblical authority, the Word of God. We don't do things because people say, we do things because this says it. Amen. Secondly, A, autonomy of the local church. Amen. Autonomy of the local church. We are a church. This is Heritage. Priesthood of the believer. I'm a priest. You're a priest in your own home. You're responsible for raising your children upright. We have two church offices, pastor and deacons. Pastor leads the flock. He's the overseer. The deacons make sure that the work can get done so that he can do his prayer and his Bible study. Amen. Yeah, that's their job. They're the grocery carriers. Individual soul liberty. Thus saith the Lord God. I read the scripture. I have the soul liberty to do it. Amen. You better make sure it's right with God. Amen. Amen. And saved and baptized church membership. And the T is two church ordinances. And the S is separation from church and state. That does not mean separated from. That means that I believe that our country does not have the right to tell me what I need to do and what I need to preach. And that they have a state church that I pay into that state church, and that's where I have to go. I have the separation of church and state. Not separate God from our country, but separate the fact that our country tells us what we have to do biblically. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And Lord, I know there's a lot, Lord Jesus, that needs to be done. Lord, there's so much of the local church that needs to be taught and remind us. Lord, help us to be unified. Help us, Lord Jesus, to do right and walk right and act right and speak right. God, help us tonight. Bless our folks tonight. Help us, Lord, as we take the Lord's Supper, that we'd be a blessing and help and encouragement. And Lord God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and say, Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd like to know that. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. You're here tonight and say, Preacher, I've been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ and believer's baptism since I've been saved. I know I need to do that. Preacher, would you pray for me that I'd do that? God bless you. Anybody else? Yes. All right, good. In a moment, we're going to have an opportunity for you to be baptized. It's all ready. The water's warm. We've got covering for you to wear. It's proper, decent, and we'd love you to do that. You're here tonight and say, preacher, there's some things in my heart and my life I'm really working with, and I want to really be right with God. God bless you. Amen. 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 Father in heaven, would you speak to our hearts now, Lord, as we have this invitation time. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Stand, everyone stand, heads bowed, eyes are closed. Y'all stand tonight. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that. Why don't you come right now? Here tonight and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Why don't you take care of what the Bible says? Why don't you come? Jesus walked 75 miles. One way to get baptized, he walked 75 miles back. I think he must have thought that it was important. Jesus, when he finished baptized, came out of the water. The Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, was there, and his Father said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." Wow! Once a person gets saved, you want to follow Lord and believe in baptism. You want to show people that you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, that's why we go down in the water, and rose on the third day. You come tonight. You do what the Bible says. Come on. Just say excuse me to your friends next to you and just say, excuse me, come forward and take care of that tonight. Here tonight and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? God's speaking to your heart and speaking to your life. There's some things going on in your life. Why don't you come? Let's get them straightened out tonight.